Our new bestie has changed how we track our investments. Why have over 400,000 investors chosen ShareSite? It's simple. This online investment dashboard for your investment portfolio supports over 500,000 stocks, ETFs, and funds, plus integrated with more than 200 platforms, ensures your entire investment portfolio is organized and accessible in one place. Move beyond the limited insights from brokerage statements. ShareSite offers a comprehensive view of your financial performance, including analyzed reports, dividend gains, and the impact of currency fluctuations, all through intuitive graphs and visualizations. But here's the best part. For the investee besties out there, ShareSite is offering a special deal. Save 4 months when you purchase an annual premium plan. It's time to dive deep into performance metrics, streamline tax reporting, and share your portfolio with ease. Join the link in the episode description to sign up to ShareSite now and transform your investment experience. Hello, today's Thursday, which means we're bringing you Girls at Startup, a weekly series where we spill the tea on how to create a seven-figure side hustle because no one saves their way to wealth. You're joined today by a seven-figure business owner, and with me is Maya, a solopreneur. Hi, Maya.
Kia ora, Sim. Are you excited to talk about today's topic?
While you said that, there was a sigh. Are you excited to talk about today's topic?
I think I was just breathing.
When you were like, are you excited to talk about today's topic?
That was me taking air.
That was you taking air in, or were you sighing out?
Taking air in.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing about this is we have proof. We can go back and listen.
Okay. Anyway, today we're talking about how to get good at selling yourself. So this is one of those skills that are important to have as a solopreneur / business owner, but can be uncomfortable or even unusual to do. Like sometimes it can just feel like icky. There's this whakatauki, a Māori proverb that I think aligns with that feeling quite nicely. Kāore te kumara e kōrero ana ki tōna ake reka. The kumara doesn't talk about its own sweetness. Kumara is a sweet potato in Aotearoa, and this whakatauki, this proverb, refers to humility and letting your actions speak for itself rather than self-promoting. That's the first thing I think of when, like, you know, selling yourself. And in some aspects, it can feel, you know, just uncomfortable and icky, especially when you're not used to talking about yourself. And also culturally, within Te Ao Māori, within the Māori world, I think this might be similar with your culture as well, Sim. It can be perceived as being arrogant or boasting about yourself as well when you are kind of giving that elevator pitch. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think this is a really important kaupapa, important topic to talk about, one of those basics 101s for starting out in solopreneurship, in being a business owner. I think it's an important skill to have and to hone. So let's just get into it, Sim. How do you pitch yourself to people?
That's a really good question. I wanted to tackle, before even like getting into how I pitch myself, I think you brought up a really good point in your intro around like culturally how it feels to be someone that shouldn't promote themselves, or we believe it's wrong, and then actually doing it. Because when you have those views and then you promote yourself, you kind of feel like you're not acting in line with your values.
Mm.
And I think firstly, I want to address that I believe that you can still be in line with your values and believe that being a braggy person or bragging is wrong. And at the same time, you can believe that sharing information about what you do and sharing your accomplishments is not bragging because of the intention behind it. Hear me out. Stay with me.
Yep, I'm following.
When your intention of sharing news of something that's gone really well for you is to post it and be like, oh, I can't wait for everyone to like it, and I can't wait for everyone to comment, and I can't wait for like all the applause and people be like, wow, Sim, again,
another award, like, congratulations, you're killing it. If that's why you're sharing something online, then yes, like, it is absolutely to brag. And you're really not in alignment with those values that you have of, like, be humble, be safe, don't be seen. But if you're sharing the exact same post with the exact same caption, but with the intention of me sharing this is going to either inspire or help someone else that looks like me feel like they can do it too. Or when I share it, I'm also going to include information about how other people can reach that too. Like, hey, I got this award. By the way, applications for this award open up again in February for those that want to apply for themselves. Like, how you share news and the intention behind it, in my view, impacts if you are sharing in a bragging way or if you're sharing to uplift others and help others and therefore still, you know, within the safe zone.
I totally get that, especially because there's also an added layer in Aotearoa. We have tall poppy syndrome, which can just be another thing to navigate as well. But like you said, intention goes a long way. And if you're viewing your business as a funnel to help, to support people, to solve a problem, then I think it's a wonderful thing. And that's something that I think personally, the world would be a better place if people have that intention. There's nothing wrong with congratulating yourself, with being proud of yourself. But again, there is that difference between being arrogant and, is it being chauvinistic?
I don't actually know what chauvinistic means, but yeah, I guess like chauvinistic, or I call it like reading the room, just trying to figure out how can I best share something important or something that I've done in a way that isn't going to hurt other people. Because realistically, like, you can pretend and be like, well, Sim, like, I want to share my wins and it doesn't matter if people take it poorly, like, that's their problem and they need to work on it. And yeah, I agree to a certain degree, but people are humans and there's going to be uncomfortable feelings. And if you can mitigate how you share your success without accidentally putting other people down, why not, like, I don't know, take an extra step?
I completely agree. So we can, I guess, pitch ourselves, or I don't really like saying sell ourselves, in a way that is authentic to our values and our beliefs, and especially our cultural values, which is important to me. We've established that, Sim. How do you pitch yourself to people in business?
If I am in a room where someone has no idea who I am and I'm trying to tell them or pitch myself, I'd usually be like, hi, my name is Sim. I'm the founder of Girls That Invest. So I say what I do. I give context as to why it's important. So I'm not just like, hi, I'm Sim. I run a company called Girls That Invest, full stop. Because what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give like a piece of social proof. So social proof is an example of why lots of other people like what we do, because that helps the person listening understand, well, if lots of people are listening in, must be something.
Mm.
She's probably doing one or two things, right? So I'll be like, hi, I'm Sim from Girls That Invest. We're a media company with the world's largest investing education platform for women. So now they're like, oh, so she does this thing and it's big. And I usually put a full stop there.
Okay, so you have your two sentences of who you are, your business values, and a service that you provide. How do you get over that ickiness when you're not used to it? You've been in business for a very long time. How can people who are first starting out to pitch themselves get over that feeling of discomfort?
You're probably feeling discomfort because you're worried that you're coming across transactional or fake. And I think the ickiness always occurs when your level of inauthenticity increases, or you feel rather that your level of inauthenticity is increasing. You're like, oh, I'm not being myself, I'm being icky. I'm like, what is this like code switching like voice I'm putting on to talk to these people? How I manage that is when what you're doing is in alignment with your authenticity or in alignment with your values, the ickiness goes away. So it's just a reframing. And I say to myself, hey, why am I even here? I'm at this business event. Why am I at this business event? I'm here to meet other people, to grow Girls That Invest, to make friends, contacts, spread the word, or just, you know, learn. And while I'm here, what's my mission? Like, my North Star is to make sure that as many people as possible, primarily women and minorities, learn how to invest. That's all I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can introduce myself in a good way that gets someone interested, that gets them to go home and search me up and go, oh, this is a really cool company. I have a daughter, niece, nephew, son, uncle, anyone that would really benefit from this. That's me getting one step closer to that goal, to that mission. So when my purpose of selling myself is to grow my mission and my impact and get more women to invest, then I don't feel icky at all.
So reframing it for this podcast, I thought selling yourself is similar to networking.
Yeah.
It can feel very transactional. And how do you get away from that transactional icky feeling is what I'm referring to. And so what you do is you reframe it as you aren't being transactional, you are providing value to people.
Absolutely. Like if I was Maya and I was at an event and, you know, you're just kind of standing around and you're having a nibble and you're waiting for like someone with a platter to make eye contact with you because you're like, I guess it's finger food tonight. And you're just kind of like awkwardly looking around and someone comes up to you and they go, hi, like, I'm John. What do you do? When you just say, oh, I'm Maya, like I work in the health space, full stop. Who have you helped? Because John might know someone that also works in the health space that could actually be a really good contact for you to reach out to. But because you haven't given him context, he can't help you in your mission further. I don't know why I used a guy in this example.
That's okay.
If you are like, hi, I'm Maya, and I have a education business or a wellness platform where I teach other people. And let's say right now, I'm making it up because I know we're still like figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm helping people who have burnt out connect back with themselves by using indigenous methods or like holistic health or XYZ. And I do it through social platforms, or I do it through a podcast, I do it through Instagram. That gives that other person clues and ideas as to who you are, what you stand for. One, they might be like, that's so awesome. I actually know someone that would benefit from it, and you've gained someone that could actually use your service or product. Or they say, oh, that's really awesome. I should connect you with this person. They also are like of this background, or they also work in the health space, or they're like a naturopath that's just, you know, been killing it, and they'd probably really love to partner with you and share their products and services. That's you taking your mission further and actually reaching more people and having more impact. And yes, it's weird to share things about yourself, but then I guess the benefit is if they do it back to you and they tell you what they do, like whenever people introduce themselves to me and I think, oh, you'd be really good to know X person, I'll be like, hey, would you like me to make an intro? So it's like a two-way street.
I really love that reframing. And I think already that's helped me to view it as a more positive interaction, as just purely kind of transactional and all very businessy and less intimidating, actually. So one, knowing what your values are within your business, leading with your values and your passions, well, your passion, and using that to be beneficial for people. So if you lead with that, it's easier.
I guess if you lead with that, you won't feel icky, because I'll keep like saying this maybe like throughout the whole episode, you might get sick of it. But if what you're doing and what your values are two circles and they're a Venn diagram and they're not completely like overlapped, you're going to feel icky.
For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of a card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today.
You either have to change your values, which I don't recommend, or you change how your actions are taken by you and you go, well, why am I doing this? How does it help? What's beneficial? And as soon as it's like an overlapping complete circle, why would you feel icky? Like you going and selling yourself is you going and selling your mission. And if your mission is to create impact, you should be selling yourself more. Like if I truly am like, hey, I want more women in the world to invest, I should be walking down the street and petting someone's dog and being like, by the way, have you invested? Because I run a company.
Just like shoulder tapping anyone that's walking past.
Hey, I noticed that you have some really nice Nike shoes. Have you ever considered investing in Nike shares? Because when you retire.
No, that's not how to pitch yourself. That is not how to sell yourself. How can people practice selling themselves in their business?
I've never like looked in the mirror and like been like, hi, my name is Simran and I run Girls That Invest. But I think over time, I would hope that you would have a stern word with me if I did that, Maya.
Look, what you do to build your confidence is your business. If it works, it works.
Maya's like, your confidence needs so much working that if this is what it takes, please.
You know, sometimes it helps. Like their Friends episode. Oh, what am I talking? You don't know the Friends episode.
Hey, I watch Friends.
So the Friends episode where Ross is dating his student and her dad is Bruce Willis.
Yes, I have seen that.
Yeah. And he's saying, I'm a hunky guy in the mirror.
See, you got to give me credit. I watched like up to that season.
The rest, don't ask.
Maya, is Friends actually funny?
I think it is.
Okay.
Okay. Sim likes Parks and Rec and The Office and Community, that kind of humor. Actually, that humor in comparison to like Friends, New Girl, Gilmore Girls is completely different. So I get it.
Thank you for saving me from watching Gilmore Girls because I was going to, but I guess if it's not my humor, then.
No, it's so wholesome. Sorry. Anyway, how can people practice selling themselves, not talking to themselves in the mirror? No?
No, I wouldn't do that. This is my like structure. You like put in your name. Hi, I'm Sim. Mm-hmm. You put in what you do. I'm the founder at Girls That Invest. So title, job. Mm-hmm. You give social proof. We're the largest investing podcast for women, or we're the fastest growing tech platform for like pets. You don't just say what you do, but you give like a little bit of an insight as to how you do it. So you wouldn't just be like, I help people learn how to be better with their wellness. Because like, what does that mean? You find something that you've done. Maybe you've won an award. I go around speaking about wellness in like corporate spaces, like something that you can be like, people be like, damn, like she's getting paid for this. This is really cool. Then if people are like interested or if they look confused, you can give more details. So sometimes people like kind of tilt their head and they look at me sideways. And then I go, we share this education through like podcasts, social platforms. And then at the back of it, we have an e-learning platform. And that is my subtle way of answering the question that I usually get asked, which is how on earth do you make money?
Okay.
Because I like used to explain. And so the best way to practice is actually just to do it because you'll get asked lots of questions. I used to just be like, oh, I run Girls That Invest. It's a podcast. And then over time, people be like, that's really cool, doll. How do you make money off it? And I'd be like, oh, and also it's a book and also it's this. And then I'd be like, it's a media company. And they'd be like, that's cool. How do you make money? And so I've been like, we're a media company. And off the back of it, we do like partnerships and we are a B2C, like direct to consumer e-learning platform.
So it's that repetition kind of thing. The more you do it, the better you'll be at it, the better you'll be able to hone your pitch and see what works best for you, what's, I guess, most interesting and intriguing to people.
And also, like, what explains it to someone that doesn't work in your industry? Like, if you can go to your sibling, because your siblings never know what you do.
They also care the least as well.
They care the least. If I go to my sibling and tell them what I do and, like, give them an elevator pitch and it makes no sense, then I know I need to, like, make it simpler.
Yeah.
And they will react the same way a stranger will. Just absolutely no interest.
Like, oh, cool. Cool, dude.
Can I go now?
I think you've been able to simplify it. And the big learning for me is that reframing into this is a way where you can help people. You can share your message. It's nothing icky when you are using your values and your passions to fuel it and leading with authenticity. The more you do it, the easier it'll become.
I think we're going to do an episode in the future where we break down a little bit more of your like views on being businessy, because I can totally be a bit off the mark and you tell me. I think you hold back from being businessy because you worry it comes with certain connotations and you don't want to like sell yourself because it seems like a negative and transactional thing. But I think if you reframe it, it's, hey, I have a business to create change and impact in the world. And so being more businessy is just a linear relationship to creating more change.
Let's definitely do that. I think that'll be really helpful because I think if I'm thinking these things, I'm hoping a whole lot of other people in the early stages of solopreneurship, of creating a business, has them as well. And that is exactly what we're here for.
I love it. Thank you so much, Maya. These questions have been amazing. I've loved this episode. This has been really fun to talk about. If you are at the start of your journey or you're making your way through and you've found this helpful, please let us know. Take a screenshot, put it on your Instagram story, tag Girls That Invest. It is literally the only way people hear about the podcast. And it means a little to us because it helps us spread the message. It helps us create more impact. And Maya, if you think about it, in these ends where I like do this part, I guess I'm kind of being a bit salesy, right? Because I'm like, hey, please do this thing for me that you don't have to do. But the way I'm framing it is like, hey, if you share the podcast, it helps us reach more people and therefore creates more impact.
I love that example. She's a businesswoman.
It just hit me now. It was not intentional, but I guess that's kind of what it's doing. If you enjoyed this, let us know and I'll see you next time.
Ka kite sim. Bye.
Bye. And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer. Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.